There was a lady reflecting upon her time at her therapist's, and therapist said to her, to achieve true inner peace, you really have to finish what you start. And so she continued to reflect, and as she reflected, she said, well, so far today, I've finished 2 bags of chips and a whole cake. I feel better already. Well, let's pray, and we're going to talk about peace today. Lord Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace, and of your government of peace there will be no end. Thank you for that promise. There will be no end to your peace. And Lord Jesus, we just commit to you our lives, our minds, and our hearts today, and ask that the things that are preventing your peace from truly residing in us, truly controlling us, and just release that, Lord Jesus, to you. And just ask, Lord Jesus, that anyone here today that just needs a special touch of your peace, a special touch of your presence, to know of that peace that never ends, the peace that passes all understanding, that is only found in you, would reside more in us. There would be an increased volume, and that we would let go, and that we would allow you, Lord Jesus, to control every aspect of our minds and our hearts and our lives through your peace. Our circumstances may not change as we go out these doors, but we know that you are more in control, and I pray that there would be more release of control for each and every one of us here today, and allowing your peace to reign and rule in every aspect, in every thought, in every action. Thank you, Jesus. We give you glory, honor, and praise. May these words that I speak be pleasing unto you. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing unto you, Lord Jesus, and provide peace and comfort and strength and guidance, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you have your Bibles or your tablets, your phones, whatever works best for your Bible viewing pleasure, please turn to Luke chapter 2 and John 14. So Luke 2 verses 8 through 14 and John 14 verses 23 through 27. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." We read in John 14 these words. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Well, some of you know that I'm on Facebook, and I very rarely actually do this, but this week I decided to just get kind of an opinion poll, so to speak, on peace. And so I put a post on Facebook asking what, as you read these two scriptures, I put the two scriptures out that I just read to you on Facebook, and just got some feedback. And here's a few of the definitions that some of my Facebook friends gave to me. Three words: quiet of heart. That describes peace, doesn't it? Quiet of heart. Another person said, I would define peace as rest in the soul, no longer seeking for food on the ground, but staring at Jesus' face and realizing you are sitting at a banquet. You are on a solid rock. You have no chance of being thrown around by storms. You rest in his righteousness and goodness. One more of, I think there's about 17 or 18 responses. One said, being in right relationship with God, with each other, with creation, with self. There is a link between peace and humility. Some good answers to think about, to reflect on today. Well, Wikipedia has this definition. I'm going to put that up there, Dave. What is peace? Peace is a state of harmony characterized by the lack of violent conflict and the freedom from fear of violence, commonly understood as the absence of hostility. Peace also suggests the existence of healthy or newly healed interpersonal or international relationships. Prosperity in matters of social or economic welfare, the establishment of equality, and a working political order that serves the true interests of all. Interesting. And you have to repeat that now. No, I'm just kidding. So, wouldn't that be wonderful if that was the way the world operated 100% of the time? But unfortunately, we don't live in that kind of a world. Well, that's kind of a brief view of what we see when we think of peace. We think of true equality, true connection between people, and then an inner peace, just knowing who we are and having purpose in our lives. But I think some of those definitions that came off of Facebook got a little closer to what true peace really means. And it comes in the form of the two passages I read to you. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. As I thought about peace, and I read this passage once again, a very familiar passage that we read often this time of year. What is the connection between peace and favor? There's a deep connection between God's peace and God's favor. God the Father sent his Son Jesus Christ as a babe in a manger. He left everything, left the favor of heaven in order to bring us into favor with God. Isn't that a wonderful thought? He left the favor of heaven. He left the riches of heaven in order to give us riches. The riches of his kindness, the riches of his forbearance, his patience, and his wonderful and matchless salvation. Wow. Favor and peace are in great relationship. I don't know if those shepherds really understood the message that they heard when those angels came that first night. But what favor, what peace. The peace that was lost in the garden by Adam and Eve, God knew that was going to be lost. He knew that from the beginning of time. And he made a way, and he already had a way, that his Son was going to come and be that propitiation, be that substitutionary atonement, that taking our place for the peace that we lost, he gained back for us. What favor. When Jesus speaks of this peace, he says, a peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Well, in the chronology of the Gospels, this message was given right before Jesus was crucified, was led away, was betrayed. And he gives this message of peace. Well, what is the world's peace? A world's peace itself is temporary, but Jesus' peace is eternal. World peace tries to keep control in a way. Jesus' peace releases control. What did Jesus leave us with? He says, my peace I give you. He gives us the Holy Spirit, right? He gives us that Holy Spirit that reminds us of the truth of who we are in Jesus Christ, that we are an accepted people. We are a secure people. We are a significant people. And person. He truly brought the epitome of shalom to the earth. Amen? Shalom in its essence is Jesus Christ in his person. In what he did on this earth is shalom, completely embodied. Wholeness, completeness, transcendence, endurance, sinlessness. shalom. And so when you said shalom today to one another, that's the trueness of what Jesus is trying to bring in our relationships this Christmas and throughout the year is a wholeness, a completeness, and an entirety of the image of who he wants us to be. And his Holy Spirit reveals that in us. Well, we have some stats. It's interesting. And I want to bring those out to us. In 2017, I think they're on there. This is from plowshares.org. There were 28 conflicts in 25 countries. And they say no conflict was removed from the armed conflicts report this year. However, we are closely monitoring. There's a peace process happening in Colombia. But just to give you some stats in regards to world peace. Syria remained the bloodiest conflict, although the death toll decreased from the previous year. In 2017, reports suggest that 39,000 people, including 10,507 civilians, were killed. There are also 6.1 million internally displaced persons in Syria and 6.3 million refugees. Since March 2015, 5,000 children have died in the Yemen conflict due to violence. That's an average of 5 children a day. And in Afghanistan and their ongoing battles, child casualties account for 30% of all civilian casualties. Well, how does the world view peace? Well, a cynic once said, peace is just a time to reload. I don't like that definition at all. Peace is just a time for the world or for those in the world to reload. It's also been said that the only thing history teaches is that history teaches us nothing. That's not a good either. But what can we learn from this? Well, for one thing, there will never be true political peace on this earth until Jesus comes and rules and reigns again. Amen? There will not be. We can pray for it, and we need to pray for it, but there will truly never be true political peace on this earth. What we need to focus on is praying for these conflicts, yes. Thinking about them, being aware, not putting our head in the sand, yes. But what about true peace? I often find myself thinking about this as I'm in a shopping mall or in a store at this time of year. And I found myself last year in a food court. I don't know how many of you have ever been, probably all of you have been in a food court in a mall at some point. You sit there and there's a din of people talking. And I get to thinking, how many of these people are truly at peace? How many of them are really know who they are, who God has created them to be? Or are they just here trying to go through the motions to, you know, find the right gift, just the perfect gift for somebody, for there to be temporary peace for a little while until that gift gets put on the shelf or gets used, right? How do we know true peace? Well, peace itself meets us where we're at. Jesus Christ comes and meets us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the one and only. We read in John 1 these words. I want to give us an acronym once again this week to think about what peace is. Peace is first, what peace gives us, the peace of Jesus Christ gives us, first of all, is perspective. Perspective. If you can get that up there, Dave. I think it's the next slide. There we go. Maybe a little small. Hopefully you can see that. So we look at perspective, favorable perspective or unfavorable perspective. Look at that from Luke chapter 2 that we just read. Peace in John 14, 27. Peace versus a troubled, fear-filled mindset. What controls us inside? What drives us? How is our perspective in this world today? Think about, there's a lady, story is told, an elderly lady in London, England, who went back into her building when the bombs were being let go by the Germans over London. And people wonder where she was. They're trying to find her. And she finally came out after the raid had gone by, and it was safe to exit the building where her apartment was. And some of her neighbors came to her kind of very anxious and wondering, why in the world did you stay in your own building? She said, the peace of Christ will protect me. I believe in that. And if I'm supposed to go, it's my time. If not, then it's not. But Jesus is going to protect me. And no, nothing can come against me. Reminds me of what Jesus said to us in Matthew chapter 10. Do not fear those who can kill the body. Right? But fear the one who can put both body and soul into hell. Having the right perspective. Right? And Jesus gave his disciples that perspective before he went to the cross. Right? My peace I give you, a peace I leave with you, not as the world gives. It's not temporary, but it's eternal. It's internal. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So he encouraged them. So the second one is perspective and encouragement. Jesus, I'm sure if I were to ask each and every one of you today here to give a story of when Jesus' peace came and met you in your circumstance. Maybe your circumstance never changed. Maybe it did because of Jesus' peace. But you gained a different perspective on that circumstance and you were encouraged because of what Jesus said to you. Maybe it was his word that you read. Maybe it was a word through a brother or a sister. I find it interesting that Jesus' peace isn't limited by class or race or anything else. All are one, as Jesus said and Paul said in the epistles. The message first came of the birth of Jesus to outcasts and shepherds. And the message of his resurrection first came to women. Right? Looked down upon castes of society. Encouragement and perspective. Thirdly, peace gives us an awareness. Our level of peace shows where our faith is focused. When people look at how we handle our circumstances, not that we have this nice mask on, and sometimes that's a problem with us as Christians, isn't it? That we put on a mask too quickly, especially when we walk through these doors. We say, how is your day today? Well, I'm doing fine, Pastor. When inside, there's nothing, there's just a war going on in here or in here. Right? Peace gives us an awareness. Well, when I got the call to come and candidate here at the church, that sense of purpose and peace in my life was tested. Said, God, is this where you want me to go? Jesus, is this where you have for me to go next in my pastoral calling? And there was a bit of anxiety that rose up inside of me. Oh, I don't know, God. What about this? What if this? What if that? Any of you relate with that sometimes in your life? Yeah, what if? Living in the land of if. I've talked to a few of you about that. Some of you may be living there right now. But as I prayed and as I sought the Lord in regards to coming to be your pastor, Jesus said these words to me, I am your shepherd, trust me. Amen? Yes, I am your shepherd, trust me. So where are you today? Are you living in that land of if? Or is there an awareness? Is there an awareness of Christ's peace in your circumstances right now? I pray that there is. Because when you do, the presence of Christ, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, just gives us that perspective to rise above. Like David talks about in the Psalms, he's taken my feet out of the miry mud and set me on a rock. Right? We have a different perspective. We're raised up above the circumstances. The circumstances in our lives may not change, but we can change within them because Jesus leads us through. I think of that in the big perspective, as we mentioned last week in our time of communion together. Genesis 3, verse 14, the sea in peace, I believe, is the centerpiece, which is Christ. Genesis 3, 14, as we think about the circumstances surrounding the Garden of Eden, we as human beings, we look on that, and we have the whole perspective, but it almost seemed like things were lost. They went and hid. They were afraid because they were naked. There is the fear factor that was there. But God did not fear. God didn't say, well, what am I going to do now? No, he didn't. God knew. He gave that choice because of his love, because of his great grace and peace. And so Genesis 3:14 is the prophetic focus, saying, you know what? Satan's going to try to come and bite your heel, but you're going to crush his head. You're going to crush his head. What does that give you peace today, church? I pray that it does. That Jesus triumphed over Satan and his deception. I mean, Satan is still trying to dissuade us and distract us. Jesus said he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Right? He's still alive and well on planet Earth, but he is a defeated foe. He is a defeated foe. And so when we think about peace, true peace, Satan will try to come and bring it as he did to Jesus at the temple. Right? And he tempted him in three different ways, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. He'll try to deceive us into thinking that, you know, if we just give in this way, we'll have peace. But it's just temporary. It's just temporary fulfillment. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, say, Jesus, have your way, have your will in my life, that's when true peace happens. And we can then endure the things that come to us and walk through them. Peace, the peace of Jesus Christ, so we have, it gives us perspective, it gives us encouragement, gives us awareness, it focuses us on Christ himself and who he is and why he came. And finally, it's enduring. Christ's peace is enduring. Maybe some of you are enduring something in your life right now. You're walking through something. As I thought of this peace, I thought of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I encourage you to read Daniel chapter 3 this afternoon if you have a chance, verses 16 through 18. But what peace they had, what purpose they had. You know, they looked at Nebuchadnezzar and said, you know what, we're not going to bow to this statue. We're going to worship the Lord our God. And if he rescues us, great. If he doesn't rescue us, it doesn't matter. What peace, what perspective, what endurance that they had. And then they go into the fire. And of course, we know the story, right? There was a fourth man there. Some say he looked like the Son of God. Believe he was Jesus. You have your own interpretation, but enduring peace. What a thought. Has Christ's peace helped you endure? Is Christ's peace helping you to endure? I pray that it is. If it isn't, ask him, help me, Lord Jesus, to endure what I'm going through, to walk through it with that perspective, with the encouragement and awareness of what he has in your life. And that as you ask him, he will reveal more of himself to you in the midst of that fiery trial, in the midst of that time that you're going through. So at this time of year, we often see not necessarily political wars, but there is that war of the soul, the war of the emotions, the war of worry, the war of relationships. But Jesus comes to give us that peace. Peace meets us where we are. Peace, the Prince of Peace came as a babe, but he is a prince. And he came to rule and reign over the fear and darkness that Satan tries to bring into our world today. Perspective on this is found in the story of Thomas Edison. I'm going to close our time here today with this. Thomas Edison invented the microphone, the phonograph, the incandescent light, the storage battery, talking movies, and more than 1,000 other things. But in December of 1914, he encountered something different. All these things that he had invented had greatly strained his finances. This particular evening, spontaneous combustion had broken out in the film room of his house. And other flammable goods were just there and just combusted. Fire companies from 8 different surrounding communities came and tried to put out the fire, but it was to no use. Edison was 67, with all his assets going up in just flames. And all he had was $238,000 worth of insurance, and all of the stuff that he had was worth $2 million at that time. So his son Charles found him looking at this scene of his house. And his face was glowing and his hair was blowing in the reflection of the flames. And he says, Thomas Edison said to his son Charles, "Where's your mother?" When I told him I didn't know, he said, "Find her, bring her here. She will never see anything like this as long as she lives." Next morning, Edison is out again, reflecting upon the charred now ruins of his home and his lab. So this is there, he says, and he reflects this, and hear this, church. There's great value in disaster. All our mistakes are burned up. Thank God we can start anew. Thank God we can start anew. 3 weeks after the fire, Edison invented the phonograph. Pretty amazing. Peace. When we look on things, God's peace gives us a perspective to have open hands, to say, you know what, even if all burns, if all I have here physically on this earth is gone, I still have Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Missionary Bible translators had trouble finding a definition for the New Testament word for peace, which means to reconcile or to join in the New Testament Greek. But a native came up with a definition, and I think it suits what Thomas Edison and how he responded and how we need to respond. The definition he came up with is a heart that sits down. A heart that sits down. Not the heart that just sits around, but a heart that sits down. Do you understand the difference? Right? A heart that sits down is one that waits, one that is open to what God has for us, that gives him control. Jesus says to us in John 16:33, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Do you want to be an overcomer today? I pray that you do. And that you would have his encouragement, that you'd have his perspective, that you'd have his awareness, that you'd have Christ himself, and that you could endure and walk through what you're going through right now. I want to give us a few moments of time before the worship team comes back up, just to think about overcoming, enduring, walking through this, whatever you're facing in this life. Maybe it's just something you or someone you know of that needs that peace. Maybe you yourself have not received the Prince of Peace here today, and you say, "I want that. I don't understand that. What does that look like?" So I want to just give us some time, a moment or two here, to reflect on that before we close our service. So let's pray. And if you feel that leading, and you say, "You want? I want to come. I want to just open up this area here." I'm going to ask if Dave would come, and myself and Dave will be here, Dave Massey, to pray with you, to encourage you. And if you want that peace, you're just lacking that. You want a prayer to feel a sense of renewal, a sense of perspective in your life. Come. So I'm going to pray for us, and then just take a few moments to quietly reflect, and as the worship team comes, then we'll just open up this altar space to a place of receiving peace. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your perspective. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for your awareness and for what you have given to us in this, that you've given us yourself, Lord Jesus, and that you help us through your peace to endure to the end. And Lord Jesus, I pray if there's someone here today just says, "Jesus, I don't know you. I want to know you. I want to know this Prince of Peace and have that peace in my own life." Pray that they would want that and they would come. And if there's some here today, Lord Jesus, that are just, there's a turmoil in their life or there's a struggle and they just want to release that to you. Or someone they know, they want to come on behalf of somebody else that they know that needs that peace, that they would come. Lord Jesus, I just pray and I thank you for coming from heaven to earth, that you came from everything in order to give us, that we may gain everything. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your perspective on this. And I pray, Lord Jesus, for those who may be sitting here who feel broken, who just don't have that assurance that they are accepted, secure, and significant in you, Lord Jesus. And that if there's one area of their lives that they're just struggling with, I just pray and just lift them up to you, Lord, asking that your strength, your peace, your power, Father, would minister to minds and to hearts. Father, maybe there's some people here that are in the midst of making a big decision, Father, or having just struggles, maybe in their workplace or with family or other places, and they just need that perspective. Father, I pray for them that your peace that passes all understanding would guard their hearts and their minds in Christ Jesus, and that if they need to come, that they would come. Father, I pray that there wouldn't be striving in this place today as we close our service, that we wouldn't go out just the same way we came in. Oh, Father God, I release that to you and just ask that there would be that peace, that release of control, that we can give over to you our mistakes, just as Thomas Edison said, our sins. And as we repent, maybe there's a brokenness because of the sin or sins we've committed recently or in the past. And it's preventing us from truly walking out in your peace. Jesus, if there's some people like that here, that they would come.